Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is writing about these different spiritual gifts, how we all have received different gifts from the Lord. And of course, it's no secret that the gifts that we have are sometimes different from other people. You know, maybe we have more gifts in one area and fewer gifts in another area. And so often we can use those things to really focus on the differences between us. But Paul reminds us in this passage that all of these gifts come from the same place. Really, the same person, our Lord and Savior. And that is what truly unites us as a people. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a couple of weeks ago, Katie and I actually had an opportunity to watch a movie together. This is like a big deal, okay? And we're just at home. We didn't go to the theater or anything. But, you know, it just seems like sometimes, you know, we can't even find enough time to watch a movie. We don't have that much free time, you know? You try to squeeze your whole life into that, like, hour after the kids go to bed before you feel tired enough to go to bed. But this kind of worked out. All the stars aligned that day. A couple weeks ago, we sat down to watch a movie together. And we decided to kind of scroll through the Netflix menu, just try to find something. And we decided to watch this movie called The Founder, which is all about the story of how the fast food chain McDonald's got started all those years ago, and how it really transformed from being just one little burger stand run by a couple of brothers in Southern California into this big, giant, global, multi-billion dollar company that we are used to today. It's a pretty interesting story, and if you haven't seen that movie, I highly recommend it. I'm not gonna give too much of the movie's plot away, but some of the most dramatic parts of the movie are when you have differences of opinion, sharp disagreements between the brothers, the McDonald brothers on the one side, and on the other side, a guy named Ray Kroc. And if you don't know who Ray Kroc is, he was a salesman from our own state of Illinois. And he went and saw how they were running this burger stand in California, and he was really impressed with the way that they were able to produce these burgers in such a fast way, an efficient way, how many people were lining up to eat these burgers, and how much money they were making. So it was Ray Kroc who told and convinced the brothers that they needed to take this burger stand and create more of them all across the country. And so they did that. Now, the initial success that they had came when they were really focused on everything being the same, everything being uniform in all these different burger stands everywhere they put one up. So, you know, things like always implementing the same speedy burger making system, which really was the prototype for what we consider fast food today. And also making sure that every restaurant had a limited menu. So they really only sold like burgers and fries and milkshakes. That was pretty much it. And also making sure that all these buildings looked the same, you know? They came up with this golden arch idea, you know? And so everything kind of looks the same. The differences, though, the problems came in when they had these differences, when they didn't really agree with one another. So there was one franchise owner who decides to expand the menu in his restaurant. And now he's starting to sell barbecue chicken, and this creates some problems and actually causes that store to lose a little bit of money. And then there's another disagreement about milkshakes, whether we should use real ice cream in our milkshakes or whether we could just use a powder instead and save some money on all the refrigeration costs and things like that. And so actually, for the majority of the movie, Ray Kroc and the McDonald brothers are not on the same page whatsoever. It's kind of hard to watch the difficulties that they had because they weren't on the same page. And, you know, we all know the end of the story. We all know that McDonald's became very successful from an earthly business perspective. But just watching that movie opened your eyes to see how difficult it was in the beginning because they were so focused on their differences, even to the point where the movie doesn't really have a very good ending, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So when you watch this, you know, one of the takeaways from a story like that, I think, is that, you know, when we as a people focus on the differences, if we're hyper-focused on the things that separate us, that's when problems enter into our world, you know, and that seems to be one of the issues that we have in our society. And I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't have any differences, okay? I'm not saying that diversity is a bad thing. But what I am saying is that if we allow our differences to kind of rule over us to the point where we're forgetting about the things that unite us, well, that really is problematic. You don't have to look much further than the political situation in our country right now to see how that's true, and see how all the negative things can happen because people are focusing on differences. You know, when both sides would prefer to keep the government shut down than to actually come together and have an agreement and compromise, no matter where you personally stand in that whole debate, you know, I think we can all see it's just not working, right? It's just not functional, because we're focused so much on the differences between us and not so much on the things that unite us. When you look at the Corinthians here in this passage, the people that Paul was writing to here in this passage, they were actually kind of dealing with some of these issues too amongst themselves in their congregation. They were all members of the same congregation. They were all serving the same Lord. They were all united by their common faith in the same Jesus Christ, and this faith was given to them by the same gift of holy baptism. And yet, instead of focusing on those things, they were all playing the comparison game between each other instead. So they were taking some of these spiritual gifts that God had given to them, and they were using them as an opportunity to kind of elevate themselves over their neighbors. And Paul actually mentions a whole bunch of these different gifts in this passage. He talks about things like wisdom and knowledge and healing and prophecy, and he even mentions the ability to speak in other tongues. Man, I mean, you would think that if you had a group of people with all of these amazing blessings together in one congregation, right, with the ability to build each other up, and to help each other out, and not even for their own sakes either, but to also bless the community around them, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the city of Corinth in a way that nobody else was able to, man, you would think that this would be one of the most spiritually healthy congregations that ever existed. And yet, instead, they turn on one another. And they begin to feel jealous of one another. How come he can prophesy and I can't? How come she can speak in other tongues, but I'm just stuck over here speaking Greek, and that's it? It's not fair, right? And Paul reminds them, starting in verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And what a helpful reminder that is for us as well. Man, we have all been blessed so much by our God. Sometimes it's almost impossible to fathom how much we have been blessed by God. You know, he has allowed people like us, sinners like us, selfish people, greedy people like us, people who can't get out of our own way half the time. He allows us to live and wake up every day in this amazing world that he created. Not only did he create this complex world, but he also created each and every one of us to be individuals in that world. We all have different personalities. We all have different experiences and different talents. Things that we like to do, things that we don't like to do, and you would think, just like the Corinthians, that all of these differences would actually help us to build one another up in unique ways, right? You would think, just like the McDonald brothers and Ray Kroc, that if we came at issues from different perspectives and we had different opinions, that that would make us stronger, and that would make us more successful. And yet, how often do the differences between us create problems? Yes, even in Hoyleton, Illinois, where we don't have nearly as much diversity as other places, right? We don't have as much cultural and ethnic diversity. We don't have as much religious diversity. We don't have as much political diversity, and yet we still have differences, don't we? Why has God blessed that family with more land and more money and more opportunities than what I have? Why has God blessed that mother with children who really are well-behaved when I can't have children of my own, or my children act like little monsters? Why has God blessed that guy with all kinds of friends when I really struggle socially? If we perceive that we have fewer gifts than other people, that leads us to feelings of jealousy and resentment. If we perceive that we have more gifts than other people, that can lead to feelings of pride. And yet, either way, when we live our lives focused on these kinds of differences, when we play the comparison game, we lose. But Paul, in this passage, helps us all to see, rather than putting all of our attention on the gifts themselves, it is a lot better if we all focus instead on the giver of those gifts. Because the gifts themselves can divide us, right, because of our sinful nature. But the giver is the one who unites us. The giver is the one who sent the ultimate gift into this world in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, a gift that was wrapped up, not in shiny wrapping paper, but in flesh and blood. And that's what this Epiphany season is all about, unwrapping that gift and seeing really who Jesus is. You know, not just a fine, upstanding human being and not just a carpenter's son, but Emmanuel, God with us. This amazing gift of gifts was unwrapped when Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross and took away all of our sin and bore all of those sins of selfishness and pride and jealousy, all those things that were causing so many problems in the church of Corinth. And yes, all the sins that create problems in the church of Hoyleton too. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is the gift that unites us spiritually, even when we have all kinds of things that divide us in an earthly way. And when we focus on the giver, when we place our attention upon him, that's where peace and contentment can finally take root in our relationships. You know, when we realize that all of our gifts come from the same source, that's when we can stop worrying about the comparison game so much. And instead, that's when we can use these spiritual gifts, we can use our vocations to serve one another as friends, as family members, as co-workers, as fellow believers. Yes, there are varieties of gifts, but there is one giver. And this one giver is not done giving. He's not done blessing us. On top of all of these other gifts that we have been given, he has also given to us his word. His word of promise, his word of forgiveness, his word attached to the water of holy baptism, his word in, with, and under the bread and wine of holy communion. There is absolutely nothing else in this world that is more consistent, more reliable than the word of God. Even the masters of consistency, McDonald's, can't be that reliable. You know, occasionally you go and you receive some cold fries or soggy McNuggets, don't you? Every once in a while you get a Big Mac that's not very big. Every once in a while you get a Happy Meal that's not very happy. But the Word of God remains the same forever and ever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.